Oh, yeah. Cocaine's back. All right. I don't know if Tyler's messing around or. All right. Cocaine.
Is this the only one available?
Well, there for a while there it was, but we had a few new ones, but it might be back to cocaine and cocaine only. So good luck to you. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating. Great interaction with the listeners today. Thanks for being on the Twitch chat. Thanks to Black and Abdallah, not for producing, but for sitting in and hosting. We'll see you tomorrow at Football Fest. We're looking forward to it. Merck, Charlie, Bevins, great job. Thank you for producing the show today. And it is time for Crosstalk, brought to you by Club Hawthorne with Waddle and Sylvie as they get set to take you home on this sunny, beautiful Friday
leading
afternoon.
Right up to a big White Sox and Guardians match. Coming to you live from Cleveland.
It's a big one. It's a big one,
what,
boys.
Is that your Casper? What is that? Is that your Connor?
No,
what
that was just
that?
my generic standard big, you know, sports radio voice guy.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. It's the afternoon zoo.
If it was me, I would have.
The afternoon what?
The afternoon what?
Yeah. That was
something.
That's what I heard.
That was strange. I thought I heard something
that
different,
was something
too.
Else.
I thought he was introducing you,
I said the Zoo Crew. The Zoo Crew.
That's
why, we got to bring that back, Tyler.
No, I heard that. I heard the same thing.
My goodness.
We do this 2-6.
Yeah.
Well, this was Waddle and Sylvie, as far as I know. What happened?
No, you're out. Merck's coming in. There you go.
Your afternoon?
Yeah. I said your afternoon Zoo Crew. It does sound like it. You're right. My bad. Sorry.
Two Jews. Wow.
Sylvie's like, wait, what?
After all these years, Carmen, you're going to do me like that?
My side literally hurts on that. Oh, I just pulled something. In my side. Sylvie's face is priceless. It's like, wait, what?
What?
Oh, my God.
Are we rebranding the show?
No. What's up, fellas?
No, we're sticking with this. I got this idea. It's gonna be called the Bear Jew. It's gonna be a bear with a little yarmulke on. It's gonna be great.
What other bits will we have? I don't know. I think we'll get
it's gonna be instead of would you rather, we're gonna spin the dreidel.
You can hide the afikoman. We'll spin the dreidel. Yeah, we got it all, though. We'll do the four. What is it, Murph?
Four questions every
questions.
Day. Right.
Yeah, we'll do
four
the four.
And four. The four, four questions four.
Instead of you guys go commercial free until the candle burns out.
There you go. Now we got a bunch of good ideas. By the way, Murph.
Oh, I hurt myself as well, Carmen.
You know, Murph's got a big party weekend. He's got not one, but two bar. Is one
a
bot
party
and one
weekend.
Bar? He's got one bot, one bar mitzvah this weekend. Merck said he's going to have so many Shirley Temples, he's going to be drunk.
My nephew Max is on Sunday night, and then Lily Friedman Saturday night.
How about that?
Are you going to be holding one of the legs of the chair?
Yeah, I'll do that, sure. But I'm going to have a lot of Shirley Temples.
Over under on Shirley Temples consumed. I'm going to set it at 7.5. He's going over.
Well, why would you do
combined?
That?
Combined?
Oh, I'll tell you why. I mean, are you drinking Mountain Dews with purpose? For what? For what reason?
You don't drink Mountain Dew.
It's just a great drink. It's just a great drink.
That's my point. What's in a Shirley Temple that makes you want to run up
what
to the
is
bar
it?
For four?
Well, it's a
grenadine.
For grenadine and Sprite.
How many can you have?
I wouldn't have any.
Right. Before your tongue swells.
Yeah, well, you should cap it at... we only let the kids have one. Like, when we go to dinner,
yes,
and if the kids order one,
drink.
You have one Shirley Temple. Well, Merkin's over there having six of them. The best is that he's drinking what my 10-year-old and my 8-year-old are drinking at dinner. Yeah. He's drinking the same thing. I'm hitting the old-fashioned bar,
Wait,
you know?
Of course.
I'm sure it's cheaper.
Well, that's a good point. It's definitely cheaper.
What do you... How much does a gift for your nephew cost... Like, if you have
to... Yeah, what's the going rate these days?
Oh, well, they took care of Brett and Dana, so we will definitely take care of Brett.
What are we talking?
Yeah, what's that mean? Like, is that like a 500 spot?
I think we bought him a couple... No, we...
Bought him a car?
Oh, it'll be in 300-400 probably, I'm guessing.
Wow, good for you. Very generous. You're a mensch. Mensch move. That's another segment, by the way, when you...
Yes, right. Mensch Move.
Yeah. Mensch Move
the
Mondays.
Mensch of the day. Every call, like the caller of the day.
Instead of Mensch Moves, it'll be Mensch Moves, right?
It's
like
Mensch
you guys
Mondays.
Did in the past.
What do you guys want to start with? Bears? White Sox? Bears? You want to start football?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think...
Let's go Aaron Water Show.
The biggest
talked about it a little bit.
The biggest takeaway is the Bears may not suck.
Yeah, well, like we said, it could have been Seattle. Seattle looks like they're really going to suck.
Yeah, they do.
Seattle's going to blow.
I don't think they're going to stack up talent-wise with most teams that they play or a lot of teams they play. But procedurally, they're not a disaster through two preseason games, which is encouraging. They had, two or three penalties? You had one turnover, but it was a special teams turnover, right? I had bailed at that point.
I had bailed at that point as well, but that was the one turn. They also had... They forced a turnover on special teams and scored a touchdown.
So, I mean, like, look, that's what I want. I want it to look normal and professional. And so far, you've limited penalties. You've taken care of the football. Defensively, doesn't matter if it's the ones, twos, or threes. Everybody is playing with effort, energy, and looks to be, you know, disciplined. Those things are encouraging. Now, when you line up against the 49ers, the 49ers are going to be significantly more talented.
It's going to be a different game.
Yeah. But when you're not shooting yourself in the junk with a junk pistol, then it gives you a chance.
When
it
your coach you isn't shooting you in the junk with a junk pistol either.
Yeah, good point. You know?
And I think what we're starting to see is that there's going to be a gap between the very worst teams in the league and what this Bears team is. Not saying that that's a jump to the playoffs, but it's playing competitive football, not making stupid mistakes, and looking like a professional organization, where the Seahawks showed us the opposite.
Yes.
The Seahawks, the Falcons, the Texans, those are teams that are going to be at the very bottom of the league, embarrassing themselves from week to week, and I don't think that's what this team is going to do.
Yeah, and listen, that's encouraging when you're in year one of what is a total rebuild.
Yeah.
Like if this was year four and we're hanging our hat on, well, listen, they don't commit a lot of penalties and are other teams that are worse than us.
That won't be good.
That's not, this team, my patience lasts until the end of this year.
Rebuilding.
2023 is when I'm looking more at wins and losses. Right now I'm looking at growth and development. When you get to 2023 and you've got all your draft picks, you've got $125 million in cap space, your organization, you've been in the organization now for a second year, now it's go time. Now there aren't any excuses.
Let me ask
this year I have limited expectations.
I was going to ask you this in Crosstalk Unhinged, by the way, which drops today. It was a very good episode.
It was.
Get it on the ESPN Chicago app, but we were talking too much sports as it was, so I saved it for now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys rather right now put a priority on signing Roquan Smith today or Darnell Mooney today?
Roquan.
Why?
I probably think Roquan, too.
I think Roquan's a better player.
Yeah, I do, too.
Roquan's an all-pro. Well, Darnell Mooney,
not yet.
He's second-team all-pro. He's got all-pro stats.
I believe.
What's Darnell Mooney? There's 20 Darnell Mooneys.
I don't know if there's 20 Darnell Mooneys.
We'd agree he's not a number one.
Well, I think he could veer that way.
If you factor in the importance of the position, then the conversation changes a little bit.
And the cost of a guy like that once he's free.
Hold on. We just went through this whole thing about how you can't trade for DK Metcalf because there's so many wide receivers out there.
That
and
you
everyone's
can draft,
fast.
That you
and
can draft,
okay.
Though.
So you can't always draft a. I don't think you. I mean, Roquan brings. I think is much more important than what Darnell Mooney brings. I think you can find a dozen Darnell Mooneys in the first and second round.
I think you. I'm with Abdallah and Black on this one. I think you can too. Darnell Mooney is not.
I'm not saying with the same 95 million. I'm saying, when's Mooney free? Is he got one more year too?
One more.
He's been in the system for 2 years.
This is year three.
Year.
Okay, so he'll have one more year after. To me, you got to start identifying the guys who are part of your future and not get it to the Roquan Smith point, not get it to the Allen Robinson.
So you're
point.
Talking about like
and to go early and let's think of a deal that's good for you, good for us. Make you bear for a long time.
Well, I think even DK Metcalf's deal, I think if you looked at the numbers, I think they showed him last night, he's like the seventh or eighth. He's not even top five,
well, look
paid
at what,
wise.
Look at what the Titans did with A.J. Brown.
Riley
they traded him and drafted another A.J. Brown. Yeah.
I would say if you're worried about signing Mooney to that new contract, then Mooney has to show us this season that not only with receptions, yardage, and touchdowns, that he's in the conversation for top 10 wide receivers in the league.
I will say this.
I mean,
it would be, if he makes that progressive move this year,
then have that conversation.
Yeah, I would think that, but signing him would be to an extension would be a priority for me. I'm just not going to.
All
pay.
I'm saying, Chris, is when he identifies himself as a top 10 wide receiver, you have to pay him as a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, that's fine.
You go to him now, and you can get. Again, like, you got like, it's kind of like with some of the White Sox guys and some like the Braves do this with
Braves
their guys.
Yep.
Or you get Eddie Jackson.
Well, that's the sins of the previous regime.
But
can't
I'm saying
be placed
you pay a guy
me.
Too early, you could be stuck with it.
Now, receiver and free safety are, again, different priorities.
No, I know, but if you're paying on performance now and hoping that he keeps progressing, like you end
but
up they, with the Tariq Cohens and the Eddie Jackson.
But they
that was
paid
the
Eddie Jackson as the highest paid safety in football. You're not going to do that with
no.
Dar-
That's the point of you're going ahead of this. You're getting ahead of this so this doesn't ever become the issue.
He makes progress. And again, think about it. Darnell Mooney's had four touchdown receptions in year one, four touchdown receptions in year two. If you see progress and he's a piece to your puzzle and is making steps forward, I had no problem trying to sign him to an extension. I'm not going to get into a pissing contest with him if he wants to be.
Let's try to
get him, buy him out of his free agency and get him in the fold for an extended period of time. I have no problem
because
with that.
Abdal Roquan, Roquan still has to play.
Yeah,
like, Roquan's not going anywhere either.
No, I know, but I don't think. I mean, Waddle just said 8 touchdowns in the last 2 years. I'm not going out and handing out money when in a free agent class where you've got $125 million, you always have a disgruntled wide receiver. It seems like a few of them every single year now. Like, we've all said it for years that Darnell Mooney's not a number one. I'm not paying him yet.
Well, he's only 2 years
in. The Twitch chat brings up an interesting thought. Say you pay him early, Sylvie. If he has a breakout year or two, won't he turn around and say, I want more money anyway?
Of course.
Like, won't you be in the same spot?
Yeah, you could. Absolutely. And I think then you're like happy and upset because you're happy because he takes it to another level. Sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I need to have Darnell Mooney be a top 10 receiver before I want him because you need multiple wide receivers on this team.
Yeah, but I think
they're a long way away.
We've seen in the draft the last couple of years especially that it's not even first round, second round draft picks. It's third, fourth, and fifth rounders. The way college football is played now, that every team throws the football so much that there are skilled players out there and that you can stack your team with wide receivers just by having consistent good drafts every year and just selecting someone third, fourth, fifth round. So I wouldn't be as worried. If Komet has a big season this year, maybe Komet's someone you talk about in that situation because he's going to be in the same situation
as Mooney,
guys, right?
Yes. I want to start identifying guys who will be a part. Now, Komet's got more to prove to me than Mooney has to prove to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
100%.
So
the ideal scenario is you can do both of these things, and you should because you will have the money. Like, I'm not – same way I'm not paying Darnell Mooney – if he's not the best receiver in football, he's not the best wide receiver.
He doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it.
That's not
same reason. If I look at Roquan Smith and I don't think he's the best off the ball linebacker in the NFL, I'm not paying him as the highest paid off the ball linebacker in the NFL. I mean, I don't know why you would do it with one and not the other if in fact you have value for both. And that's one of the things that I think I respect about what Poles is doing right now. I don't know if it will work. But he is sticking to his principles the way he did in the draft. We took the top players on the board. With the first, second round pick, it was a corner. With the second one, it was a safety. He didn't go off the board because they wanted to protect the quarterback or give him weapons.
Didn't panic.
He just stayed true to his principles. Whether or not his principles bear fruit will be the determination of whether or not he is your general manager for years to come. It's the same thing, I think, with Roquan. I think they like him. I think they like him a lot. But they look at Roquan and they don't think he's the best off-ball linebacker in the NFL. Why would you pay him to be that guy if, in fact, you don't evaluate him to be there? So if you offer him 5 years and $90 million, $18 million, that makes him the third highest paid linebacker in football at his position, which they think is equitable and is their how they feel. Like, why do you want them to come off of their philosophies early on? Let's see if you can stick to your principles and see if your principles pay dividends. Because if they don't, your ass is going to be sent to the sidelines the way that the Pace and the other guys were as well.
What did you guys make of the third quarter talk show about Roquan Smith last night?
That's what it was.
The broadcast had a rough night. Yeah, it did.
Did they?
It had a rough night.
Orlovsky had a rough night.
Oh, shocking. Orlovsky.
No, Orlovsky.
Well, nothing he said. So, Lewis had a good night.
Did you guys see the story that Buck and Aikman were in another booth doing
practicing?
Oh,
were they?
Practicing?
They practice in front of us.
What are they practicing for? They've been working together for 100 years.
That is true.
Maybe they have new producers. New directors.
Could have been a live practice, like a live scrimmage. It could have been a live practice.
They went live.
Lewis, I thought, was very good. Levy, I don't know if you guys heard when they were showing, this was a producer.
Did he call Sean Desai, Ryan Poles? Did somebody say
that? They misidentified Poles.
Ryan Poles. It could not have been further from Poles holding court.
Yeah,
Poles. I rewound just to make sure too. Did he say that? And was Ryan? Did I miss?
did I miss the guy? I'm like, oh, I didn't see Ryan Poles there. And I rewound it. And I'm like, no, Ryan Poles not there. Like, and I thought Levy had a couple of other misplays.
He also had, who did he have? Who was the Patriots kicker? Who was the guy that kicked for a long time?
Gaskowski?
No,
in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he had Gaskowski in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Might be time to stop with Steve Levy on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football. I mean, Stephen Gaskowski.
Well, they're only doing three games this
year, right? That crew?
I think so.
Well, do you want Berman back?
No.
Berman used to do the Monday night, the second Monday night game, and then they went to the Mike and Mike
Levy.
Deal.
I'll take Mike and Mike.
Would you want Mike and Mike or
I'll
Berman?
I'll take Levy.
Let's get Berman back in the booth.
I like Lewis in the booth.
You're right.
Can you play one thing on Levy, Tyler? Do you have the quick Levy? I thought this was interesting because I thought what they did, intentionally or unintentionally, is they took us into the production meeting and they hinted at what Ryan Poles was thinking. Here's Steve Levy.
Some of the language Poles used was interesting. First of all, we don't often get to talk to the general manager, so he was very gracious with his time. Let's play. But he said, hey, he's a very good linebacker. Like, that's some code there. That's not excellent. That's not the best linebacker in the league. That's not being paid like the best linebacker in the league.
We played that exchange between he and Orlovsky, and then Lewis followed up a little bit.
So we
about
edited
it too.
Out all the Dan stuff. I've got some other bites from the exchange. Every time we heard Dan, we edited it out.
That's how I used to listen to Cap and Co. back in the day. When he was on weekly, I would turn the headphones down.
Yeah. How did he fool you?
I thought he was good a few years back.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I caught it early because this is what would happen. He would come on Cap's show in the morning, and I would be here producing the show with Zetterman. I would go home in the afternoon, and I would watch NFL Live, he would say the opposite thing that he was saying about Trubisky in the morning to Cap on Chicago radio.
Oh, really?
On NFL Live on ESPN television. Ooh. So from that moment, when I caught that, and I brought it up multiple times, I was done with
it. What did you think when Cap would say one thing on one show, then the opposite on another show?
Well, that's just Cap,
just
right?
Yeah.
Touche. Well done.
It's unfiltered.
Did you guys hear the Tom Brady rumor?
Oh my God.
What's the rumor? No.
I mean, this is
okay,
like,
so there's two
he's gonna retire?
No, there's two possible rumors for why Tom Brady is not
come
at
from?
Camp. This is on the internet. Okay.
On the dark
and,
web.
No, but also so the first one
gotta be
the
true.
First one's not good that him and Giselle are getting divorced. We hope that's not true. The second one is now getting traction from people on the NFL network.
Wait for it.
That Tom Brady is away because he's filming The Masked Singer.
Which is a Fox show.
Look at somebody's face.
That he signed the Fox contract before he decided to come back and unretire, and they said to him, you've got to be on this show. And the Bucks are saying that they knew about this absence before he was going to take it. The Masked Singer is currently filming right now, and it would make sense for him to leave training camp for a couple weeks
and he'll be back.
Film this show.
This is crazy.
And then
what is the Masked Singer?
It's a show on Fox. It's like their biggest show.
Wasn't Lonzo Ball?
Gronk has done it before, and AB has done it before, Antonio Brown's done it before, and someone from the NFL Network texted an unnamed player, and they replied and said this is something Tom would definitely do.
So really? Is Brady masked and he's singing?
Yes. And he is the masked singer.
You have to guess who the singer is?
Yes.
And then they reveal it.
And then they reveal it.
Yes. Do you remember?
I would think that Tom Brady's got the juice to say to them, look,
you want your $12 million a year or you don't?
Oh, it's more than that.
Well, how much was it?
They're going to run away from Brady, though?
Yeah, they're not running away from Brady.
I'm just saying.
Brady could put that stipulation.
Well,
listen, I don't know.
You think a 45-year-old dude wants to be at training camp?
That's true.
Him?
Do you know what it reminds me of, guys? It reminds me of the time Lance Briggs left to go
open up his restaurant.
It's
called the Uno Dos.
It's all over Twitter today and last night that this is now
the speculation that
he's doing the Masked Singer and that this is that if it came out he would be looked down upon because you're filming some reality show.
I did read an article or a headline that said his wife wasn't happy with their relationship. Did I read that?
She might not be happy that he was retired for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Like
Michael Irvin knocked it out of the park, did he not, with his initial thought?
At the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I don't know if we still have it. I'm sure it was.
Once you get home and you're retired, you realize that you got to get out of the house. You can't just sit there all day.
Was he doing Jimmy Kimmel's show or was it, whose show was it? Was it Rich Eisen?
It was
somebody.
It was Eisen.
No, it was Dan Patrick. It was Dan Patrick. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And he just started laughing. He's
that's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, Carm, if you hear this, like, I sent it. I first saw it. I sent it to Silva, and I go, I said, Michael's spot on. Michael's so genius great. On things like so this.
Good. I mean, that's maybe why Giselle's mad, because he said, I got to get out of the house. After he wasn't retired for 2 months.
All right, Tom, you can go back and you can go be in the NFL and you can play another year and we'll delay you being in the booth, but you got to come do the Masked Singer.
Would you do it?
Boy, that's odd. That is a really odd thing. That
oh,
would,
no. It's a good. It's a good rumor.
It's a good rumor.
Whether it's true or not.
It is a good rumor.
He's like, I saw today that Bowles is saying there's still no definitive answer on when he's coming back.
Somebody was saying that he was to stick it to Schefter, he unretired, and he's still going to retire. he wanted to retire, and then he was mad that Schefter scooped it, and he's like, you know what? F you, I'm coming back, but he's really, no, I'm going to retire. He's not going to play.
Ask Schefter tomorrow.
I know. We should joke with Adam about it tomorrow. Fast. All right, what's up on the show, boys?
Do you have that, Tyler? You were looking at me, or crazy. What, did I misread you?
Michael Irvin?
Yeah.
No, it's gone.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
With this my transfer. It was lost in the move.
Cocaine's not gone.
Yeah. We've got cocaine.
Cocaine's here to stay.
Plenty of cocaine. We've got a whole batch of booger sugar, but we've got no...
We're going to find the great from the Bears game. We're going I am more optimistic... Then I was 2 games.
Somebody's the guy that goes grocery shopping when he's hungry.
Professional team.
You said it earlier in the week, though, too. What would JD say right now? JD would warn you.
He'd warn you right now.
Somebody's sitting on his couch at home, hasn't had a morsel of food in 12 days. He goes, you know what? I'm going to a grocery store. He's shopping at the grocery store with a growl in his stomach.
JD's looking down. He's going, Sylvie.
I was asking him about Simba. Isn't it his name Simba?
Ooh.
The number 10? What's number 10? Isn't his name Simba?
Simba Webster.
Simba Webster.
Yeah, I was
telling Waddle the story. I was Googling Simba Webster. Webster. I'm like, hey, did you know that he was an undrafted kid? And that Sean McVay, undrafted, signed him to the regular 53 in 2019 because they saw the... They saw that he was a good
speedster.
Player.
Speedster.
Now again, after like 6 or 7 weeks, they put him to the practice squad. But do you know who picked him up then? The 49ers.
I'm Kyle Shanahan.
I'm famished.
That mac and cheese looks great right now.
I've got a Texas rig right now on my pole, and I got a big largemouth right on it. He's right on it. I got it all
you
over
didn't
it.
You didn't even have to
bait. The minute it hit the water.
You didn't have to bait the hook.
There was the minute it hit the water, baby. Woo! We got a big largemouth on. There we go.
Just the hook.
There's no bait on it.
I can't be optimistic 2 games in the preseason. When can I be?
I love it.
You just remember, never go grocery shopping when you're hungry.
Maybe it's not a blank storm. Do you know what I mean?
That's what the listener
tweeted me.
You're right.
Maybe this way. And look, Bleck and Abdallah have been on this for the whole offseason, that they're not going to be as bad as people think. I hope they're right. Yeah. I hope they get to do a victory dance.
I hope so. All right, what else? You guys
Just one victory dance or more than one victory dance this year?
One more.
You want them to do more than one victory
dance? 7 victory dance.
Okay.
Yeah. Club Dub is done, right?
Yeah, I would hope so.
I would hope so, too. I mean, give me a break. God. Club Dub.
Club Dub was done last year.
Dion is on at 3 with you guys. Right. White Sox, Connor, 4:30. You guys have fun. Have a great Friday. See you tomorrow, okay?
All right. See ya.
Chris, Adam, thanks. See you tomorrow. Everybody have a great weekend. Hopefully we see you at Football Fest. Waddle and Sylvie are next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Fields throwing and finds Komet in a seam down to the 20.
Yeah!
Big pickup and some emotion out of the Chicago tight end. Gain of 19. Bayless Jones trying to make a spark down the sideline. He's done this net. Here's the rookie, Bayless Jones. Well in Seattle territory. Second down and goal from the 2. Simeon wants to throw for it. And able to connect. Touchdown, Chicago. It's Jake Tongis, the rookie out of Cal. Cade Johnson. Singling to the fair catch, and he muffed it. After the fair catch, he muffed it. And the Bears are on it in the end zone for a touchdown. Elijah Hicks. Recovering for Chicago. for a special teams touchdown.
There you go, Steve Levy. On Monday Night Football, special version of Monday Night Football on a Thursday, that short turnaround for the Bears. There's a lot of topics out of last night's game. If you want to discuss them with us, we've got plenty of room for you. Dion Miller will join us at 3 from Seattle. She's boarding a flight. She'll discuss what she saw. She was there. 312-332-3776. I think there are a few of us who are a little more optimistic. I don't know how much more. I just, like we said, operationally. Levy mentioned at the end of the game last night that it was their first turnover in like eight quarters of football.
Yeah.
That's good. Like penalties. They've been down with penalties.
Three. Yeah, three last night.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like there's a ton of blown assignments.
Yeah, look, I've been beaten into a pulp over these last couple of years with the not making sense, the less cute, more nasty stuff that we used to preach. What are you doing against Cleveland? None of that made sense. Where I see a football team that is actually giving some strong effort and not doing dumb stuff to shoot themselves in the foot. I'm okay. Like that's all I could judge them on so far. I'm not telling you they're going to win 8. I'm not telling you they're going to win 9. But I'm saying, hey, for the 2 preseason games that I've seen and some of the young talent that hopefully Ryan Poles has a good eye to identify. Okay.
Yeah. I share some of your optimism on a grander from a wider perspective. I don't think you can learn anything truly definitive about a team's fortune through 2 preseason games.
Right.
What I think you can learn, though, is you can check out individual performances, and also you can get a general feel for how things are done by this organization. There is still, in my humble opinion, an enormous talent gap between them and the middle to upper teams in the National Football League. So that's not going to, in a lot of ways, in my mind, it's not going to narrow this year. But what they can do better is not shoot yourself with a junk pistol.
Right.
Okay? Like, you can't be... You can limit your self-destructive behavior moments, which I don't think that... Like, even last year in the middle of the season, a play would be called late. They'd have to run out of the huddle, and then they'd have to call a timeout. I don't think I've seen any of that confusion through 2 weeks so far in preseason. So the procedural stuff looks to be improved. Now it will take some time to narrow the talent gap that exists between us and the Rams and the Packers.
Of course.
And some of the other better teams in the National Football League.
Right. I'm not making a proclamation here. All I'm saying is for the 2 games, I am going into this as a Bears fan with an open mind. I want to believe in Eberflus. I want to believe in Poles. They've got all this. I told you I'm not digging in with any sort of hot takes on these guys, what they can do, what they can't do.
I think that's
until I see
approach.
A play. Right. I don't want to. Too many people say they're going to suck. They're going to suck. And then when they don't suck, they still want to dig in and fight you.
Yes.
I want to let it play out. Like, another thing I'm encouraged about.
Let it breathe.
You know, they took the Tevin Jenkins situation. I don't know where the hell it's going. I don't know how good or bad he's going to be. But they made it from a few weeks ago to where he was out. We didn't know why he was out. There were trade rumors. And don't give me that this was a media story like some Bears Twitter people think. These were Mike Garafolo and Ian Rappaport reporting these things. These were like the top tier guys that they were making calls and stuff on him. They may have taken a guy who was deemed a bust in a lot of ways as a tackle. And hopefully they could
turn him into a productive guard.
Maybe they could show you they can develop him in another area and get something out of him. Again, I'm not making a Tevin Jenkins proclamation. I'm giving them room here. Win me over. Show me some stuff. You've got a blank slate. Now make us a picture. Draw us a clown. You know what I mean?
Paint us a delightful picture of something. Look, I don't dispute that at all. I will say, I will point to another example of something that would lead you a little bit encouraged, is that the game plan looked a little bit appealing. Lots of boots, some screens. What do you do when you can't hold up and you can't really, you can't keep the opponent out of your the face of your quarterback? You get him on the edge. You get him into a comfortable environment. Despite the situation that they found themselves in last year, with a bad offensive line and a rookie quarterback that was still learning to process stuff, they very rarely got him out onto the edge and did the things that put him in a position to take advantage of what he did well. Well, you saw in one series in 10 plays, I think, last night, at least a concerted effort by the new offensive coordinator to do just that.
Right.
You see some boots, you see some waggles, you get the tight end involved. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you and guarantee you that it's going to look great. As long as it looks like it makes sense and it looks procedurally like this is a professional outfit, to me, that's progress. Now let's look inside the individual performances and see if guys are making progress. Did they put Cole Kmet in a position last night to get him open? First of all, they got him involved with a wide receiver screen on the first play of the game.
And he made someone miss.
Yeah, and then what'd you do? You got Fields on another play out on the edge, and you got Cole Kmet. Whether I'd have to go back and look at the film to see whether or not he lost his guy, or they created an opportunity to find him some space to get him the ball and then let him do whatever he can afterwards. Like, there's an art to doing all of this stuff. But in a very small sample size, A, it looks clean. B, it looks like it makes sense. There's just now a gap that exists between our talent and the other talent, or the talent of the other better teams in the league. And that's the job of the general manager, to close that talent with the guys that you're drafting and guys that you're signing.
Hey, how many of these Victory Fridays or Mondays are we going to have? 312-332-3776. And I tweeted out a poll question regarding if you're feeling more optimistic here. Someone says teams that go undefeated in the preseason, this is on Twitter, go under 500 in the regular season. There is years of data on this. Sorry, Bears fans. And that may be the true. Like, I'll judge them. I think this year you said it. I forget if you said in the crosstalk or in the podcast today that we did with Carm Unhinged. Like, you're judging them on growth and development and not so much a number of wins. They could have a good growth and development year and still win five or six games.
Look, I'm not going to judge them myself on wins and losses strictly in the entire regular season. Why in the world would I judge them in wins and losses in the preseason? I hope they win more than they lose. If they don't, but they're making progress, that to me, you can still have a quote-unquote successful season based on where my expectations are. Now, in 2023, again, it's go time. You've got all of your draft picks back. You've got all of this money. Now's the time to set a foundation, develop your culture, whatever it is, bring some guys along, and then in 2023, my approach will change.
Right, and build a sustained, successful program.
Yeah.
That's our goal. It's not, we're not lowering the bar. We're lowering the bar for this year based on where they are. Here's the poll question, then I want to go to the calls at 332-3776. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Drive a Toyota today. Are you more optimistic about the Bears after watching their first two preseason games? So this is based on where you were and where you are now. Maybe you were optimistic before the two games, and you would vote no in this. So it may not be a true indicator. 1,700 people have voted. 58.4% say yes. They are more optimistic after the first two preseason games. Ryan on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ryan?
Happy Friday, boys. Appreciate you taking my call.
You got
Bears
it.
Victory Friday. Let's go.
Let's go.
No, in all seriousness, no. I wanted to touch back on what you guys were talking
about. It didn't sound like
about.
It was a really enthusiastic Victory Friday chance, but, you know.
I mean, I will take the win. I think the bigger win was watching Getsy get Fields out of the pocket, move the pocket out of him, a lot of RPOs, a lot of play action there. I think the offense looked good. And I'm definitely more optimistic than I was a couple weeks ago after seeing the product on the field last two preseason games. I wanted to bring up what Sylvie brought up about paying Mooney a little bit early during crosstalk. I don't think it's a bad idea, and I think it's especially heightened when you look at what options are going to be available in free agency this upcoming year in the wide receiver group. It is not exciting at all. I think Juju might be the top tier guy in that group. So I say pay Mooney early. If he blows up and he wants more money in the future, that's a good problem to have. And then go out and draft somebody with your top draft pick, which should probably be around the top 10, top 15 after I think we go out and get 6-7 wins this year. Appreciate you taking my call, guys. Have a great weekend. I'll hang up and listen.
I got where you were going with that statement. I never interpreted what you were saying as, you got to pay Darnell Mooney right now top dollar. No, I think as I interpreted what you're saying, if Mooney takes another step and proves to you that he's a key component to going forward with your offense, doesn't mean he has to establish himself as a number one. But you see progress, and he's definitely a component for the future. Why not see if you can lock him up now?
Right.
I had no problem with that. And I don't think your insinuation was that you have to overpay him.
No.
You just look to see if he
may now may be the right time for him, where he's had success but not too much success. You've seen enough where he's bought in. You see the chemistry with Fields, and you're like, hey, is there a number that can make both of our sides happy right now? So in a year from now, when you're on your last year of your contract, we're not in a row
distraction.
Right.
No, I think it's a prudent approach.
And in order to get a top-tier wide receiver these days, you basically have to trade for one. You have to draft one, because the free agents are the guys like Christian Kirk who are overpaid, because the top guys are never usually
they're not going to reach free agency.
Free agency. Like, didn't the Raiders?
Justin Jefferson isn't reaching free agency.
Didn't the Raiders have to trade for Davante Adams?
I believe they did.
AJ Brown traded.
Yeah.
The top guys are not ever reaching free agents.
Well, listen, free agency. I mean, you can remember, you can also franchise guys too.
Right.
So, it's very. Yeah, I mean, you usually have to draft them or trade for them.
Right, because the team that likes them will franchise them and keep them or re-sign them, or if they have a fallout with them, they will trade them. They're never free. They're never free. It had to take, Allen Robinson never should have been free, but it was so bad for both sides. Yeah. That's the way it went.
There's the approach, I think, now that I know the teams are really paying their receivers, but it feels like there's a tinge of, hey, why am I going to pay you $25 million a year when I can draft another guy, because guys are coming out in bunches now that can make a difference.
If you go early, you may not have to pay a guy $25 mil. Yeah. That's the other point here. 312-332-3776. There were a couple of flaws, though, from Eberflus. As much as we've been complimenting them and there are people scared about the offensive line with I don't think those people are crazy either, that they still see an offensive line that's not pass protecting. I want to tell you about a couple of things from Eberflus that the two of us did not love. And one has to do with the next game. That's coming up next.
If you don't have ESPN Plus now, what are you waiting for? With ESPN Plus, you can stream live sports and original content. You get unrivaled UFC access and exclusive pay-per-views, including UFC 278 on Saturday, where Kamaru Usman puts his 19-fight streak and his welterweight title on the line against Leon Edwards. New and current subscribers will receive $20 off the pay-per-view price for UFC 278. Get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNChicagoBundle.com to learn more.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
White Sox! White Sox! Go! Go! White Sox!
Free ticket Friday. I got some White Sox info right now, too. Bringing up caller 7 wins.
You're going to play shortstop and bat 7th today?
It's Elvis Andrus. In the Sox lineup, two-time All-Star Elvis Andrus, who was recently released. Not that far.
Oh.
No, but back with Texas, he was released by Oakland. And look, they need him, because the young guys have not been able to get it done. Romy hasn't been able to get it done. Lenin hasn't been able to get it done. Until T.A. gets
back. Get over
their
heads a little bit.
Yeah, he's getting
more
better.
Than a little bit.
Yeah, you get Elvis Andrus batting 7th today. Car 7332-3776. It is brought to you by Miller Lite.
What, the kid Simmons from the North Side wasn't available?
He is available, I think.
Oh.
I don't think he's on a team. Terrible signing that was. Isn't he like one of the worst hitters in all of baseball?
Ever.
Ever.
Has been for a while.
Yes, and we got to get some of that in the offseason. They are playing better ball, though. A couple of the... Stop it. Stop laughing.
You are right. They are playing better ball. They won like four in a row, right?
Well, in the last 2 months, I think it's almost a two full month period that the Cubs are playing 500 baseball. In a rebuild, it's like we're talking about where we are with the Bears.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, after two preseason games, maybe they don't suck. Like, for as bad as the Cubs were in this first year of the rebuild.
Are you suggesting a jet extension maybe on the way?
I see it. Now you're just...
I'm asking questions.
No, no. Did he sign an extension recently, too? I think he did.
Not sure.
That's how he bought those two houses in Winnetka, yeah.
He's got two houses?
I thought he bought two lots in Winnetka.
Wow, good for him.
I think so. He moved from the city to Winnetka. All right, a couple of things at Eberflus. In a regular season game, and we gave them lots of compliments. They look disciplined. They look like they play hard, et cetera, et cetera. He's got to challenge a play. You've got to see a better look
a catch. From my couch at home, they as an organization need to be able to see that and get the information down to their head coach.
Yes.
Period. End of story.
And then can we play the find the great? Because I want to find the great, and I think Eberflus needs to do something more to find the great. It's brought to you by Great Clips.
It's time to find the great on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Find the great, presented by Great Clips.
I would like Matt Eberflus, and I think we're together on this, to play his starters in the third preseason game.
I agree.
Yeah. They have not played a lot of football this entire training camp.
Well, think about just their offensive line. You've got Braxton Jones. You've got Cody Whitehair. Patrick's been out. Your right guard has been in flux, and Riley Reiff hasn't played at all.
Right.
So your entire offensive line unit that you expect to be the top five out there, opening game of the season against the 49ers, have not taken a snap together in a game situation.
Did you mention Jenkins, too, playing right guard now?
I said the right guard has been in flux. Yeah.
And if he's going to play,
yeah.
I want to see him play with all the other offensive linemen. There's word that Eberflus may just get them to the starting gate, you know, in one piece, which I get too, but I think this is more about reps and development and everything like that. I don't think Justin Fields has had enough live game action.
I don't either.
In the preseason. They've not played him a lot at all.
Listen, and it's not like you're trying to get guys hurt, but teams that prevent their guys from playing in that environment are teams that are competing for, you know, a title or a championship or something. Again, this is just my perspective. I don't see them as being one of those teams. I'm not suggesting that means that guys should run out in traffic. But I think when you do the risk-reward evaluation and you go through that process for this team, I think it would be very beneficial for a lot of their guys who will be opening day starters to get some run in the third preseason game. I'm with you 100%.
Tyler, really quick before the break, can you play the Eberflus on whether or not Fields will play in this next game?
Well, we're going to look at that. You know, we're going to look at that. We'll evaluate our football team and see where we are. I have a coordinators meeting sometime tomorrow, and we'll get everybody's opinion and go from there.
I'm not going to go crazy, but
yeah.
Cole Kmet has played in one preseason game and limited snaps.
Bayless Jones has played in one.
And then the offensive line has been shuffled nonstop. I'd like to see them all play together a few more series here in the third, especially because the second game they scaled it back because they traveled across the country on a short week.
Yes.
So we'll talk to Dion Miller about that coming up. She was in Seattle and for the game, and we'll talk to Dion coming up next.